She's not here to judge. She's here to report the honest news on healthy living. She's Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. It's time for Naturally Savvy.
If you're someone who has any type of sleep problem, then you understand how difficult it is to function properly throughout the day. Today's guest, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, will provide us with some amazing tips on how to get a good night's sleep. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Teitelbaum.
Andrew, great to be with you as always.
All right, so let's delve in. Mm-hmm. Let's delve in because it's so important.
Yeah, because first of all, why? Who cares? I mean, I used to think as a kid that it was a waste of time to sleep. But a couple things to know. If you don't get enough sleep, you're going to gain an average 6.5 pounds. You're going to have 30% higher risk of obesity. You're going to be in pain. You're going to have poor energy. Your brain's going to be going out on you. And your immune system's not going to be working well. And you're going to be catching all kinds of crud, having autoimmune problems, and just doing very poorly. So sleep is not a waste of time. Sleep is a critical part of our body's regeneration system. And it's important to know how much sleep is a good night's sleep.
And that's a good point, because I remember reading or listening to, someone who was saying that if you're, for adrenals specifically, if you don't get 5 hours of straight sleep, then you're taxing your adrenals and you need to get that amount of sleep. So what is the number, I guess, because I've heard different, some say 6 hours, some say 8 hours. What is that optimal number of sleep? And is there an optimal number for everybody?
Well, you need to distinguish between what a minimal amount is that you're not going to be horribly sick versus optimal. And I think the best way to tell is to go back throughout human history. For most of human history, the average night's sleep has been 9 to 10 hours a night.
Oh, wow. That
was until 130 years ago when Edison developed light bulbs. And we've gone downhill from the average 9 hours of sleep a night to 6.75 hours of sleep. And that has left one-third of our population in chronic pain, 31% suffering with severe fatigue, and people having all kinds of new and severe infections. It has, this average 6.75 has not been working for us. Now, again, everybody's different. There are some people who function beautifully on 6 hours sleep, and they're going to feel great. And others, me, I'm a 9 hour kind of a guy. So take a look. And what I would recommend is people take a vacation time some other time where they take different amounts of sleep and get your 9 hours sleep one night or for two nights running. See how you feel compared to the other nights. And basically, it's like trying on shoes to see what fits. Try different amounts of sleep, see what feels best to you, and then go with that.
It's interesting. I don't even think I could get 9 hours, even if I wanted to. I know my body naturally will wake up after 8 hours of sleep. So I'm guessing that would be the right amount for me, right?
Well, it depends, because some of us wake up at the crack of dawn, even if we go to bed at 3 a.m. So what you want to do, Andrea, is to go to bed a little earlier. In case you wake up the same time. If you wake up and can't go back to sleep after 6 hours, no matter what time you go to sleep, and you feel great, then that's it. That's the size that fits you. But don't presume that just because you wake up at the crack of dawn, that's what your body needs. Go to bed a little earlier. See how that works out for you.
I want to go back to something you said before about, the 6.25, I think it was, hours of sleep, and then people are in more pain. Now, just to clarify, is it because they're getting less sleep that they're in more pain, or is the pain causing them to get less sleep?
Well, it goes both ways. But more importantly, what happens is that no matter what the cause of your pain, if you don't get enough sleep, you don't have the repair cycle going on, and you can't fix the underlying cause of the pain, and the pain generally will not go away without adequate sleep. In addition, even if you take somebody totally healthy, they did the study in med students, and sleep deprived them for a couple nights, they will start to ache all over. And talk about ache all over, for those listeners, if you have widespread pain, even if it's attributed to things like lupus and other things, if you have pain throughout your body and can't sleep and have no brain and are exhausted, you have fibromyalgia. And that takes a special treatment that we call the SHINE protocol. And that can be found on my website at endfatigue.com or my book, The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution. So for those listeners, you need intensive care for sleep, because you can't sleep to save your life without help. And anybody with fatigue, I recommend something called the Energy Analysis Program. They can go to endfatigue.com. It's a free computerized quiz. It'll assess their symptoms, even lab tests, and say, here's how to optimize energy and help them feeling better. So if you have fatigue along with your insomnia, go ahead and do the quiz. You'll see it'll teach you what you need to do. It'll tailor what you need to feel much better.
Well, I think that's a good point. I think, you know, for people, I love that the point that you're telling people there's an actual protocol and they can go and they can get their energy analyzed, which I think is great. And I think, you know, for people who aren't sleeping, and let's say it's not due to any type of specific condition, what are some things they could do, some tips you can give them in order to help them sleep better?
Number one, you want to get good sleep hygiene. And the key thing, now ignore all these things in the media, say, well, avoid blue lights and, you know, don't have any alcohol before bedtime. It's okay to have a drink or two. Not too much. You're going to disrupt your sleep. Don't worry about using the iPhone and things because of the color of the light. But a couple simple things. Just like with the kids, you have a bedtime routine. You put on their favorite quiet movie. You read them a book. Maybe you comb their hair, brush your hair, whatever it happens to be that soothes you. We're just big kids at heart. Have a bedtime routine. During the winter time, an awesome one is draw yourself a hot bath, pour in a cup or two of Epsom salts, light some candles, have a glass of wine, have a little bit of the best tasting chocolate you can find, or some other simple pleasure, and put on some music and lock the door, and have your soak, have your quiet time, and then you cool down for a half hour after. And off reading a boring book or watching something, you know, calming, and off to bed. Avoid caffeine near bedtime. Now, there's a little bit in the chocolate, but again, excessive caffeine. Don't exercise within an hour or two of bedtime. And if you have trouble falling asleep, there are herbal mixes. My favorite is called the Revitalizing Sleep Formula. It's a mix of six herbs, valerian, passion flower, lemon balm, hops, theanine and others. It will leave most people sleeping like puppies. It's just the Revitalizing Sleep Formula that can be found at endfatigue.com or really anywhere. A little bit of melatonin. All it takes is half a milligram to get the full effect. And some magnesium before bedtime. For those who wake up in the middle of the night, waking up 2 to 4 in the morning, wide awake, you want a bedtime protein snack, not carbs, but a 1 ounce, like some egg, a hard-boiled egg, or some meat or fish. And another key thing for getting quality sleep, if you wake up tired despite sleeping, see if you have nasal congestion when you're sleeping. Do you have trouble breathing through your nose? If you have trouble breathing through your nose, you're not going to get restorative, restful sleep. And there's simple things you can get on Amazon, such as the Breathe Right Nose Strip. They're a little Band-Aid that goes over the outside of your bridge of your nose and acts like a spring to keep it open. You have what's called NosoVent. That does the same thing from the inside. Max Air. You can also find all of these on Amazon or most drugstores and supermarkets. But you'll find if you have trouble breathing through your nose, do a nasal rinse before bedtime. Use one or both or two of those things, the inside, outside thing, to keep the airway open. And you're going to find that your quality of sleep, how you feel the next day, improves dramatically.
Well, I would say those are fantastic tips. And I love the idea of having a protein before bed, too, like you mentioned, for those who are waking up between 2 and 4. Dr. T, out of time. I mean, always. It just goes by so quickly. And I want to thank you for coming on the show today. You can learn more about Dr. Teitelbaum at his website, endfatigue.com. I know he mentioned it a few times, so please go visit it. You can also go to energyanalysisprogram.com, like he mentioned as well. I'm Andrew Donsky, along with Lisa Davis, who is not here today. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone. Get good sleep and stay well.